Welcome to the iLEAP's Early Careers podcast, where we explore scientific research related to the biosphere and the atmosphere, and share the personal experiences of our early careers scientists as they navigate their way through academia. Our podcast today forms part of a series in which we learn more about the scientific research conducted by early career scientists, both in and from the region of Latin America.
So on today's iLEAP podcast, we are talking to Manuel Flores, who is a master's student at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. So welcome to the podcast, Manuel.
Oh, hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming to talk to us today. So with this podcast, we always want to find out kind of like the background, a little bit about you and your motivations for the career that you've chosen. So could you tell us firstly about what has inspired you maybe to become a scientist?
So that's actually a funny story. I actually had no intentions to start graduate school or do research until I was enrolled by accident in an upper level course in my degree program as like a bachelor's student. And so I was originally just going to get out of that program because it was like way too advanced for me. But one of the professors there, Dr. Moore, was actually co-leading a research experience for undergraduates program. They're called REUs. And so at my institution, this was located in Costa Rica. So I was a sophomore at the time with no research experience, but she encouraged me to apply. And I did so with no knowledge of what an REU was and no expectation that I would get into the program. But luckily I did. And when I did my research experience, I had my mind absolutely blown by everything that I saw in Costa Rica. And I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but I was just really astounded by the nature and culture of this place and really found myself wanting to learn more about tropical forests. And so I would say what really inspired me to be a scientist was simply how beautiful these areas are and how different they were from anything I had previously experienced as like a forestry student in Texas. And it was just really amazing. And I've just wanted to study these systems ever since.
Cool. That's a really cool answer. So you've already kind of touched there on like your journey so far and where you've been studying, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on that and maybe highlight some of the skills that you found useful so far during your studies and things.
Oh yeah, of course. So I guess I'll start at the beginning. So I got my bachelor's in forestry and ecological restoration at Texas A&M in what was then the ecosystem and science department. And like I said before, I had no intentions to become a scientist and entered college with the expectation that I would simply, you know, go into a local forestry or ecology firm or society or anything like that and work in Texas as a field worker. So after my REU experience in Costa Rica, I was absolutely dead set on studying the system more. And so I went back again the summer before my senior year with my own funding and decided to explore more research questions. And so this work took place at the Texas A&M Solta Center for Research and Education and mainly focused on analyzing tree water use across canopy layers and how this water use may have changed in response to a recent tree fall gap that had occurred at the Solta Center. And so this second experience was really informative to me because it allowed me to gain more independence in the field and become more comfortable with leading my own projects. And so now in graduate school at the University of Illinois, my research is mostly focused on wood nutrient translocation between heartwood and sapwood and how this movement of nutrients within a tree may vary seasonally and how wood nutrients may serve as a critical source of macronutrients for the generation of plant reproductive tissue and just survivability in general. And I'm also interested in assessing how this translocation or remobilization of nutrients may be influenced by soil fertility. And so I'm studying seasonal nutrient wood translocation of about 4 tree species across the calcium and nitrogen fertility gradient in the temperate forest of Manistee, Michigan. And so while I had originally planned to conduct this work in Panama in a tropical setting, COVID restrictions kept me from traveling this year. However, I hope to eventually conduct a similar study in Panama within the next year or so, and really look forward to assessing any differences in nutrient translocation that may or may not be present between temperate and tropical forests. And I would say this: a lot of the skills that I've gained through these experiences have just been like enduring fieldwork and just really being able to be, you know, I guess able and willing to go out whatever the conditions. I mean, if it's raining, if it's cold or whatever, just being able to perform under those conditions and just getting to explore a a wealth of different methodologies. I mean, anything from like sensor installations to increment bores to taking DBH, or, you know, to the most hard to the easiest thing. It's just been a great experience.
Yeah, that sounds cool. So, like, you've said so much there, and it's really cool. And, like, so you've already kind of started telling us a little bit about your research, which is really, really interesting. So maybe you could either expand on that a little bit more, or maybe, you know, could you just, like, describe what it was like then to go and do the field work for people that's maybe not visited those forests before? And can you, like, describe what it was like, and maybe a bit about your, like, daily routine or things like that?
So just to be more specific, I guess my research is focused on documenting the phenomenon of nutrient translocation, and, you know, seeing if it is correlated to the amount of parenchyma cells that are found in tree sapwood. And what parenchyma cells are, they are metabolically active cells within sapwood that kind of are lignified and die off within heartwood. And I think this is important because if plant direct nutrient translocation does occur and is associated with wood traits like parenchyma cells, this can help us gain a deeper understanding of a plant's, you know, many strategies to circumvent low fertility soils. So that's just a little bit more of my actual research. And if anything's wrong in that statement, I apologize. I'm still learning a lot about it myself. I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
Yeah, no worries. And totally, like, you're totally fine. Like, you know, this is a real big step to talk about your research as well. So don't worry. Could you maybe just, you know, like, set the scene for us, for our listeners, what it was like to actually work in the forest and kind of on the field work side?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, both Michigan and Costa Rica are totally different. So I guess I'll mainly focus on Costa Rica because it was the more, I guess, informative experience. Mm-hmm. So field work in there, it was very hard, but it was very fun. It was difficult physically, but like mentally, it was like being on a playground. I mean, you were slipping and sliding everywhere you go, at least I was. And it would rain a lot, and it would just, there was so much beauty around and so much rain and so much mud. Like, the parts that would be miserable in a temperate forest were just so much fun in a tropical forest. And, you know, whether it was rain or shine, field work was always a place where I really was able to focus and relax and, you know, just get work done and not be distracted by, like, you know, the statistics that would follow a project or, you know, an essay I had to write. It was just something that came naturally, and it was definitely challenging, but incredibly rewarding.
And did you work on your own or in a team, or how did it work?
So that first experience in Costa Rica, the RU program, I was a part of a 8-student team that each conducted individual projects, but we were able to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that project itself, although a very small project and self-contained within the program, it allowed me to work with other scientists from wildly different fields. I mean, I was the ecologically focused person in the group, but there were like engineers and hydrologists and training, like fellow undergraduates that were with me. And it was incredible to work with them and to learn from them as well and get their insights on how they viewed, you know, tropical systems and how they implement their own understanding of ecology and their specific discipline into tropical forests, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, that's really cool. So let's talk about some challenges then. So you might have faced some challenges so far, maybe during undergraduate or like through your master's program so far. So could you like tell us a little bit about that and maybe how you've overcome those?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I've only just started my research career, so it's kind of hard to, I guess, gauge that. But I do feel that I've been extremely fortunate. So for the most part, of all of my mentors and peers that I've encountered have been nothing but amazing. And the current plant biology program I am a part of at Illinois has been exceptionally compassionate to its students, especially during the pandemic. So I feel that prior to starting graduate school, my biggest challenge was just overcoming the fear of starting a project and recognizing mm-hmm. that, like, it's okay to be lost as long as learning is happening and progress is being made. And so I actually remember the plane touching down, like as I arrived to Costa Rica for my second trip, and just having like this sudden emotion of panic, you know, because I realized I was just going to be mostly on my own in terms of field work for the next 5 weeks. And that was the second experience I had in Costa Rica. So where I had like a team of other scientists to help me, this was mostly me on my own. Mm-hmm. So while terrifying, this experience was ultimately what I needed to really shake my hesitancy concerning field work and research in general. And so this experience was funny because it was simultaneously one of the biggest challenges I've had in my career, but was also the motivation I needed to overcome, you know, my anxiety and really commit to, you know, a career in science in graduate school. But now in graduate school, I would say the biggest challenge, I mean, not just for me, but for a lot of people, has definitely just been, you know, remaining flexible during this pandemic. And when I found out that I couldn't conduct any research in Panama this year for my master's, I was a little devastated, you know, because I had spent the better part of a year planning and obtaining funding for a project that ultimately had to change. And so nonetheless, I also recognize that this is absolutely nothing compared to the like abundant challenges that other students have had to face, you know, not just in the US, but across the world. And realizing this is what made me just push past this initial disappointment. And so ultimately, I'm extremely privileged to have the position that I have and will keep working the same way that many others have had to do during this time. So in terms of how I overcame the stuff with the pandemic, it was just the grad students around me that I have in my current program. So they've been a great inspiration.
Yeah, that's really cool. And like, I totally know that feeling, like you said, described when you think, oh no, have I like kind of bit them off more than I can chew this time? How am I going to get through all of this? But then, like you say, you kind of really grow from it sometimes by throwing yourself into that deep end and learning to swim a little bit makes you grow as a person. And then, so let's talk about the highlights then during your sort of research career so far. Elaborate or give us some details on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just the first year master's student, so there's not many moments yet. But I would say definitely the first one, and I've mentioned it before, was just stepping into a tropical forest for the first time. You know, at the time I went in for the first time, I'd only taken a few basic plant taxonomy courses in Texas. And so I thought I knew about plant anatomy going in, or had this like false sense of like confidence. But I just remember walking in and just realizing like, I really don't know anything about plants. And that didn't freak me out. It was just really inspiring because it was incredible to see how different everything was. And I just remember that's when, you know, doing research and like the anxiety behind it and the stigma just kind of faded away. And it was just me wanting to learn more. I mean, because I think fundamentally that is what science is, just people just wanting to learn more. So that was a really great moment that I can recall. And then I guess another moment I could think of is just the process of obtaining funding for my second trip to Costa Rica. So most RU programs usually don't allow past students to redo a program. And so I asked my mentor at the time, Dr. Moore, if there was any way that I could get back to the Solta Center to conduct more research. And she referred me to a university level grant competition that I could apply to. And I applied to it and I interviewed and everything, and I had absolutely no expectation to receive it, you know, because it seemed like kind of competitive. And sure enough, the deadline for like the contacts for notifications, it came and went, and I just assumed that I hadn't gotten it. So I just went to bed and I was thinking to myself, like, you know, if I don't get this funding, I'm not sure if I can get back to Costa Rica. And, you know, with that doubt came like other thoughts of like, maybe I just shouldn't do research. Maybe it's not for me. And sure enough, when I woke up, it turns out they had actually sent the email super like a day late. And I actually had gotten the grant to do that second trip. And I just remember waking up and being in my bed and reading that and just being like in shock. And it was like fear and excitement that, yeah, now I have to perform. Now there's no excuse for me not to get this done. And I was just, yeah, definitely one of the better moments that I've had so far.
Yeah, that's a lovely story. And like, I think, you know, so many people can relate to that as well. When you have these moments, these ups and these downs, and then you're waiting for something, and then, you know, things come, you pull things off, and then it's such a cool feeling. So just to kind of finish then, and I, you know, be really interested to hear what sort of advice you might have for early career scientists then. And this can be like generally or more specifically if they're going to study in like Latin America or go and do field work in Latin America. So yeah, you can answer it however you think.
Oh man. honestly, I'm so early in my career that it feels odd to be giving advice on the subject. But more generally, I think just realizing that, especially for graduate students and early career scientists, just realizing that you don't have to be an expert in your field to start it. And that becoming qualified to study your system is like a part of the journey, I feel like, is an important realization. And just, you know, I believe that experience follows learning and learning follows experience, and keeping that willingness to jump into new and scary things, you know, whether it's a new project or just hard methodology, is a major part in succeeding and pushing past any doubts you may have, especially if you're, you know, if you were like me and just trying to get a project off the ground. But more specifically for the tropics, I feel like just networking with other people that are actually from the tropics and getting to know them and how they view the system that they've called home for so long is very important to I guess, like, looking beyond the beauty of the vegetation and realizing that it's a person's home and it's people's homes that you're studying, and just gaining a deeper respect. And I feel like getting to know people from the area can help you formulate questions and have more research integrated to the people of, like, Latin America, and how they may benefit from your research, or how may you orient your research towards benefiting them. And so that's kind of something that I'm certainly trying to develop right now. And so the first step for me was just trying to get to do research in this area. And now I really want to push forward and start applying what I'm working on to integrate it into people's lives there. So I'm not sure what form that'll take, but hopefully it'll come through in some type of ecosystem management strategies that I hope to implement way, way down the road.
Yeah, well, thank you, Manuel. That was really cool. And we'll totally look forward to seeing what you do next, and following you on that. So yeah, thanks for coming to talk to us on the iLeaps podcast.
Thank you.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. And just to say, if you want to learn more about iLeaps, please go to our website, iLeaps.org, where you'll find a link to our early careers website, where you can follow us on Twitter at iLeaps_ECSN, or our Facebook page. Thanks.